by the council, the scrupulous. This, by the way, is a larger and more important subject than most people realize. And I would say, as a person begins to walk on the way of perfection, and his conscience is sensitized to doing God's will, there are more people who fail to reach sanctity because of what we call scrupulosity than I think most people, unless they've had a lot of experience with souls, will realize. I couldn't give you a better master for this subject, and I'd commend to all of you, I would almost ask if you would, by the next time read, can I give you an assignment to read from St. Ignatius' Spiritual Exercises? It is called Some Notes Concerning Scruples. In this edition, which is a standard published by Loyola University Press, it is Numbers 345 through 351, pages 154 to 156. We don't have time to cover everything that Ignatius has here. Let me read a few passages and comment and point out some practical implications. Here's the heading of St. Ignatius. The following notes will aid us to understand scruples and the temptations of our enemy. Do you hear that? Scrupulosity is a temptation. Good to hear. And it is especially the temptation of those who are striving after perfection. Well, they have, perhaps with God's grace, succeeded in overcoming the natural desires of, say, the flesh, and are not an easy prey to the bad example of others, but the devil won't let go. If anything, he will concentrate on such souls, trying to lead them from following Christ as faithfully as he sees them doing. I continue. It is common, says Ignatius, for people to speak of something as a scruple, though it has proceeded from their own judgment and free will. For example, when I freely decide that something is a sin which is not a sin, that's not a scruple. Thus it may happen that after one has chanced to step upon a cross formed by straws, he decides according to his own way of thinking that he has sinned. Follow the logic? There happens to be a cross, say on the ground, accidentally. Would it be a sin to step on it? In reality, says Ignatius, this is not a scruple. It is rather erroneous judgment. My first comment, therefore. There is nothing more important, especially as people begin to live a life of perfection. Nothing more important than for their conscience to be correctly enlightened. That's why I think a certain amount of basic instruction in the moral law, let's make it even simpler, in the Ten Commandments, is so important so that a person will know what is and what is not a sin. Because where a person wants to serve God faithfully, watch this. is hard enough to avoid what is actually sinful. What an intolerable burden. Now, many people don't have this problem because they are not sensitized to doing God's will. You follow the logic. But whatever a person who wants to pursue holiness is to acquire is sensitivity of conscience. Fine. But let that sensitive conscience be a correct conscience. Am I clear? Otherwise, a person will give up. I've seen it. Make sure that people know what is and what is not a sin. Otherwise, since we're always supposed to follow our conscience, right? We may never disobey our conscience. True. But for that very reason, as the conscience becomes more and more sensitive to what is God's will, it must be constantly enlightened and at the beginning instructed in even the very fundamentals of the moral law, lest a person with his or her sensitized conscience will be avoiding things that are not really sins at all. But believe that he or she is obliged because they think erroneously it's a sin. That's the first thing Ignatius tells us. Scrupulosity is not an erroneous conscience. But before we get any further, let me just repeat, therefore. It's a mistake, simply a mistake, to so stress the life of perfection, especially with those that are still, call it amateurs in the spiritual life, as to omit enlightening the conscience about the obligation of the moral law, what's sin and what isn't. Ignatius goes on. After I have stepped upon such a cross, or after anything else I may have thought, said, or done, the suggestion may come from outside that I have sinned. On the other hand, it may seem to me that I have not sinned. Then if I continue to be anxious, if I continue to be anxious about the matter, doubting and not doubting that I have sinned, that's scrupulosity. Is Ignatius clear? The prior judgment that something which de facto was not a sin, but I think it is, that's an erroneous judgment or mistaken conscience, which needs to be enlightened. But if afterwards, see, my mind is not cleared, my conscience is not enlightened by somebody, but that was not a sin, and I am now wavering between whether what I did is a sin or not, and I'm swaying to and fro, that is scrupulosity. Now, scrupulosity can take three forms. It can refer back to something I had done, past tense, and I'm worried or anxious whether what I had done was a sin. Or it can take the form of a present way of acting. I am now doing something, whatever it is. I'm not sure whether what I'm doing is sinful or not. And I'm anxious. I'm worried. That's scrupulosity about the present. And then if I'm planning for the future and I'm worrying about whether what I'm thinking of doing will be wrong or will be good, and my conscience is in doubt, and I allow that doubt to fester, to dwell on my mind, that is scrupulosity. Ignatius goes on. The kind of scruple mentioned in the first note, the mistake about whether stepping on two straws crossed on the ground, Ignatius says, should be completely ignored. It is simply erroneous. But before I go on, watch it. If you don't ignore, you are going to become scrupulous. Am I clear? But notice, the risk of not ignoring, which is dangerous, the risk of not ignoring really is dependent on my ignorance. If I don't know what is or what is not a sin, I am practically asking to become a scrupulous person. Because then, not knowing whether something is wrong, and whether I do it or don't, doesn't matter. If my conscience is not enlightened, I'm going to be worried, either about what I have done, what I'm doing, or what I will do. Hence, the first strong recommendation. And those guiding others better themselves, make sure that they are not scrupulous. And this does not mean sensitivity of conscience. Notice, we should all be very sensitive in conscience, but none of us should be scrupulous. And as a priest, I can tell you, there are people who can be very selective about their scrupulosity. And again, it's not sensitivity. Notice, it is a doubtful conscience that has never been enlightened, or maybe they don't want to be enlightened, whatever it is. But those same people can be positively obtuse in their callousness in other things in life. Scrupulous about the least rubric or detail in prayer. And once they leave prayer, 15 minutes later, you listen to the conversation. You can't believe your ears. Unkind, cruel, uncharitable. And, of course, the danger then is that such a person may get the, well, self-complacent thought, gosh, I must be getting real holy. I'm even getting scrupulous. Which some people associate with high sanctity. The Pharisees were scrupulous. Remember? About the least minutiae in the observance, say, of the Sabbath, or the dietary laws of the Jews. Ignatius goes on. But the scruple described in the second note, remember? Having my conscience in error, then I get to be worried. It may for a while prove to be of little advantage for a soul devoting itself to the spiritual life, worrying, being anxious. It may, in fact, listen to this. This is a great mystic talking. It may, in fact, greatly purify and cleanse such a soul by doing much to free it from even the appearance of sin. Says St. Gregory, quote Ignatius, it is characteristic of a devout soul to see a fault where there is none. All right. The more sensitive a person is, the more liable that person is to see sin where there really isn't anything sinful. So it may be all right, but Ignatius says, for a while. But be careful. Now Ignatius continues. This comes in steps. It happens to be note 4. The enemy, that's the devil, considers carefully whether one has a lax or a delicate conscience. I want to be very clear. This is precious. The enemy, which means the devil, when he decides to tempt somebody, the first thing he wants to find out is what kind of a conscience does he or she have. Is it a lax conscience or is it a delicate conscience? You know the difference. A delicate conscience tends to see sin where there isn't any. And a lax conscience doesn't see sin where there is. Okay? Now back to the devil. If Ignatius says a person has a delicate conscience, the devil tries to make it excessively sensitive in order to disturb and upset that person more easily. Isn't this clever of the devil? If the person has a delicate conscience, the devil will try to make it more sensitive. Why? In order to disturb and excite or upset the conscience more easily. Thus, if the devil sees that a person will not consent to mortal sin or venial sin or even to the appearance of deliberate sin, because the devil cannot cause that person to fall in a matter that appears sinful, he, the devil, tries to make a soul judge that there is a sin, for example, in a word or passing thought, where there is no sin. Remember this for life. The revealed name for the devil is liar. Diabolos in Greek, diabolos in Latin, or devil in Latin, pardon me. The devil in English means liar. He will therefore strive to deceive a person with a delicate conscience that something which is not sinful at all is. Notice the conscience is sensitive to the commission of sin. Fine. The devil tries to make it even more lax. Thus, if before a soul did not bother about venial sin, the enemy will contrive that it makes light of mortal sin. If before a person paid some attention to venial sin, his efforts will be that now it cares much less or not at all. Are we clear? That's the devil's logic. Now, unless we who are trying to direct others, unless we study the devil's tactics, we are not really helping people to overcome the tendency to which every soul striving after perfection, watch this, I don't see as naturally prone to scrupulosity, but the devil will make it so. Let me illustrate. Suppose before a person enters the postulant's your novitiate, had been living, frankly, a life of sin. And by the way, there is room in consecrated life for sinners. Let me just reassure you. And just because a person had a past and may have been a very recent past, is no reason why the person may not have received the grace to now want to follow Christ, even to sanctity. But even though the person may have made his or her peace with God, made a good confession, Ignatius made a general confession, and he lived a pretty wicked life before he was converted. So he spoke from experience. But the mind, which is the conscience, our purpose, does not change all of that sudden. You follow me? The person may have had 10 or more years of self-indulgence behind him. Grace touches the soul. It's converted. But the mind has to be educated to catch up with the conversion. Otherwise, the devil, who knows human nature, I've seen it, said, how many souls who generously turned their back on sin because they lacked the kind of guidance they needed in this very important matter became a prey to the devil. In other words, the more sinful a person's past has been, and especially the more recent that sinful past has been, the more the soul needs to have counter-guidance to what? To the guidance being offered by the evil spirit. What will such a person say? A month after they enter, 6 months, a year. Don't be silly. It's too much. Remember? And then we'll bring back memories of perhaps the recent sinful past. There will therefore be tendencies. There will be impulses, urges, strong. Sometimes I wish that everyone who is in charge of others to lead them, especially in the early formative years, on the way to perfection, have a full course of at least 2 years in moral theology. For example, not to know, take with temptations of the flesh. Not to know, and it's, you can't just use words here, you better know what you're talking about. No matter how strong the urge may be, no matter how powerful the drive, so far from being a sin, it is a source of great merit, provided the will remains firm. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen. We're talking about scrupulosity. Wild imagination. Drives that are almost uncontrollable. Well, no matter what the feelings may be, no matter how pleasant the sensation may be, so what? No sin. It is whether or not my will has fully, and the adverb has to be emphasized, fully consented.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.